What's up, you crazy bastards? Welcome to another episode of E-Crime Bites. This is where I research the court documentation and roast the criminals so you don't have to. This week, we have a gang in Washington, D.C., and their name is No Rats Allowed. And believe it or not, a member of this gang and the focus of this episode, his name is Keith Jones. Yeah, I know. When I saw that, I was like, I gotta cover this case. How many criminals share my name, right? So please follow me as I literally walk you through what I learned in my research. Okay, so our first stop in this story is January 15th, 2018. And this is when Keith Jones and an associate of his robbed a CVS pharmacy in Prince George's County, Maryland. So, in the court documents, they gave just generally that this CVS was in Seat Pleasant, Maryland. So I had to find it for you. So here it is. Here's the map. And it's, you can see right in the middle there, the CVS is right on a very busy road in a very busy part of Maryland. Okay. So this is not just out in the sticks or anything. If you were to rob this, you could probably disappear pretty quickly and pretty easily. All right. So I wanted to give you the front view of this CVS. It doesn't look like the most welcoming CVSs that I've ever seen. This picture, it almost looks like they're closed for business, like for good. Now, one of the things that my eyes drew to was over on the left-hand side under the ratings. And I was like, what is this? A 2.0 out of 5 stars. And it was 60 people that rated them. And I said, this CVS must be pretty bad. I don't know if this is normal for pharmacies or what it is, but this seems very low for me. So, of course, I took a tangent and I started reading the reviews. And I pulled a couple of the top ones for you. A couple of the top short ones for you. There are some that write books about how terrible the CVS is. And I'd welcome you to go check it out. So you can see this first one, it says, the pharmacy here is the worst. I've been calling all day to check on a prescription for my son to no avail. I waited for someone to pick up at the pharmacy for 30 minutes without getting through. I decided to download the CVS app and this person goes on. And you can see, they're obviously unhappy. This is the first one I ran into and I said, all right, maybe this person is an anomaly. Let me look at the next one. So the next one from Al Simmons says, horrible customer service. Now, there's so much that is spelled incorrectly in here, so I apologize if my reading isn't up to par here. I'm trying to parse their words. But Al goes on to say, horrible customer service, bad attitudes, and extremely slow. Picking up a prescription can take an hour, even if you're the next person in line. They appear to have an indifference to doing their job without eye rolls and lip smacks. Oh, you go, Al. All right, here's a couple more that I pulled out to show that this is not an anomaly. Wendy Phillips says, pharmacy staff and service sucks. Staff appears unorganized and uninterested in assisting customers. Their system appears out of date, doesn't appear to have a good tracking system. And then I was like, is there anybody that likes this place? And one of the next reviews had a 5 out of 5 stars. And I said, what the hell is this? This is Dawn Dusk Dust Dance. That is the name of the organization that rated them. And, you know, all stars. And it says, as a line increased, a cashier was immediately added. The cashier was exceedingly friendly. And I looked at this and I was like, this is a plant. This is a goddamn plant. After we read all those other ones, and these people were very unhappy with the customer service, you know this is a friend of a cashier, or they paid them, or something, because this is pretty much the only one that said this place was really, they had it, their shit together. All the rest of them said that this place was absolutely horrible. All right, so with that, that was a tangent. So Keith robbed this pharmacy of multiple bottles of promethazine. And if you're from the street, the language there is lean. So this is kind of like a syrup that you mix in with other drinks and drink it. And it's kind of like a party drug when you're not being prescribed it for medical purposes. He also robbed them of $584. Okay, so now he also attempted to steal Percocet. And if you're not familiar with what Percocet is, it's an opiate pain relieving drug it's a narcotic. You have to have a prescription for it. Not only a prescription for it, but a lot of times, see, I had a really serious surgery a couple of years ago, and I was given opiates. And when you're given opiates like that, they nowadays they control them a lot stronger than they used to. So you have to get something like a prescription more often. I think it's like every week, and you're only allowed a certain amount of pills, and you have to actually physically see a doctor instead of just being prescribed it over a phone. So imagine this Percocet. This stuff is hard to get even when you have a prescription. And he wants to go there and steal it because people want opiates, right? I mean, it's the same thing as heroin, basically. So the pharmacist, when he was there, was unable to open the safe where the Percocet is because, you know, it's in a safe. It's that much wanted. So they protect it that well. So then he wasn't able to get in the safe and probably was like, oh, shit. Oh, okay. And runs. And somehow the police officers were on his tail. Okay. And there was a chase. There was a chase from Maryland into DC. And Keith Jones was able to bail out of the vehicle and make his escape. Okay. So for over a year, he was just free. The law couldn't find him. Okay. Somewhere along the line, they looked at the surveillance footage and they got an identity from it, and they identified that it was Keith Jones from Washington, D.C. Now, I want to pause here if you're jumping in the middle. This is Keith Jones from Washington, D.C., not to be confused with Dr. Keith Jones from Maryland, okay? We're two different people. All right. So, he was eventually caught because of the surveillance video, and they take him to court. And he pled guilty to a charge of robbery, which is a crime of violence, on January 3rd, 2020. And this is in the Circuit Court of Prince George's County, because this is where this happened in Maryland. He received a 10-year suspended sentence where he served only 6 days in jail, followed by 3 years supervised probation. And at this point, you should probably be stopping me and go, hey, you told me this episode's about no rats allowed, and you haven't talked about a gang or anything yet. You are correct, listener. You are correct. I haven't. I've done this on purpose. Okay, I'm telling you about this up front because since he's convicted, a lot of stuff sets in motion in his life, okay? So, for instance, he would have been done with supervised release in January of 2023 if he would have just kept his nose clean. Okay, you're going to find out the bottom falls out here and he doesn't keep his nose clean. But this is one of the reasons why I'm telling you this. Another reason is when you're a convicted felon, you can't be around guns, have guns, or anything like that. Guns will be coming up later in this episode, and it's easier for me to just say, hey, you remember that case I told you about earlier? That's why he couldn't have guns. All right, and plus, this is very much like his crimes later on. All right, so follow along with me. Let me take you to the next thing that he does. All right, Washington, D.C. is our next stop here. This gang, No Rats Allowed, is classified as a violent gang by the government, according to the documentation that I read. Now, Keith Jones, the individual that we're talking about here, he had an Instagram account, and the account name was just the number 300 underscore Chief. So he would take this account and he would create Instagram stories showing pills with notes like, I don't pop pills, so come get them now. And what that's supposed to mean is, you know, I don't take these pills, come and buy them from me. That's basically what he's saying in these Instagram stories to all the people that follow him. Now, I've been showing you his Instagram profile here, and this is still out there. And you notice that this is actually a private account, so we can't really see what it is that he posted. And, you know, assuming he's in law enforcement hands later on in this story, he's probably not going to accept your friend request, I imagine. Okay, so there's these pills, all right, and I talked about pills earlier, but let me give you a little more information about them. The pills have a marking. It's M30. All right, like just the letter M and the number 30. I looked it up. This stands for a 30 milligram oxycodone pill. This has opiates in it. So opiates, that's the classification of drug. Same thing as heroin or fentanyl or, you know, there's a bunch of different types. This is the classification that drug that we're dealing with. Now, fentanyl is way up there in the scale of power, okay? So if your heroin is a 1, your fentanyl might be a 100 on the scale, okay? It's a very, very powerful and even deadly opiate. And what happens is criminals will take fentanyl and pretty much put it into anything because you don't have to use much of it to get a person high. And it's a lot cheaper, and as I understand it, it's synthetically made, so it sounds like it's easier to make than something like heroin. Okay, so here, I got some M30 pills for you, and this picture came from the DEA, and they say the pills on the top are legit M30 oxycodone pills. They said the pills on the bottom are actually counterfeit pills. So, yeah, maybe you can tell them apart when they're right next to each other like this, but imagine if you were to cover up the top one and just look at the bottom one and you needed pills. You may think these things are legit M30 pills. You should know that the M30 and fentanyl just should never go together legitimately. You would never see a pharmaceutical company putting those two things together, as I understand it. Now, we know that Keith Jones agreed to distribute at least 957 counterfeit M30 pills containing fentanyl weighing 105 grams. That's a lot of... That's not personal use. That's definitely distribution numbers, right? We also know that Keith Jones agreed to distribute at least 99 counterfeit M30 pills containing fentanyl weighing 10 grams at a different point. So at this point, if you add all this up, we're talking over 1,000 counterfeit pills and about, well, over 115 grams of pills. Okay, that's a lot of pills. So here's an anecdote that I found on the court paperwork. There's a defendant, another defendant of this conspiracy. He texted Keith Jones to buy over $10,000 worth of pills. During that same time period, individuals are seen texting the defendant asking to purchase quote unquote Percocet. See, they think it's Percocet, but it's actually just counterfeit pills that Jones is selling them with fentanyl in it, which is incredibly dangerous no matter how you try to look at that. So later, law enforcement did note that this defendant had been arrested and linked to over 1,000 blue M30 pills between the years of 2021 and 2022, all of which have tested and confirmed to be fentanyl. Okay. And you might think, hey, that's just an anomaly, Keith. Nope, it's not. Here's another anecdote. There's another defendant. We'll call this one defendant number 2. He goes to Keith Jones as a source of large amount of drugs, and then he distributes them to smaller quantities to members of his community. So this defendant is seen in numerous text messages purchasing these M30 fentanyl pills and weed from Keith Jones. Not weed, hey, that's cool with me. But the fentanyl pills, that's dangerous as hell. That's the part that's really the crime here, in my opinion. So like the text messages that they looked at for defendant 1, they looked at same text string for defendant 2, and they said, hey, people are texting defendant 2 to purchase drugs like Percocet that comes from Jones. All right. So that's at least 2 dealers that you see getting their stuff from Keith Jones here. And this okay, this one, I had to pause for a moment on this. So to show that Keith Jones was an all-powerful drug dealer, this defendant number 2, actually thanks Keith Jones for turning him into a drug dealer. And I had to pause there for a moment and I thought, how does that situation come up? I mean, do you send them flowers? Do you send them chocolate-covered berries? What the hell do you do when you thank someone for turning you into a drug dealer? I don't even know. Hey, listen, If you know what the etiquette is, please put your thoughts in the comments on what the etiquette is for thanking your drug dealer friend for turning you into a successful drug dealer. All right. So defendant two was then arrested earlier this year, and I guess this year would be 2023, with M30 fentanyl pills and a firearm as well. And you're going to see guns. Guns are going to come into play here pretty heavily. So in the middle of this, in October 11th, 2022, there was a law enforcement raid. You know, I just said in the middle of this, and I may have not told you the range of time we were talking about. So this crime spree, this DC gang crime spree that I'm talking about, this happens between August 1st of 2021 and October 28th of 2023. So over a 2-year span. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about one particular day in that time span. This is November 11th of 2022. There was a law enforcement raid in the middle of that time span. Now, Jones was involved in this raid. Let me tell you a little bit about this. Jones was arrested, but never prosecuted for this, okay? You're going to hear about this and you're going to say, wow, this is a pretty big deal. Yeah, it is. But he's got some bigger shit coming up that's going to kind of trump all this stuff. So I'm going to tell you about this just to let you know that later on, this is not just a single incident that he gets charged with, okay? So he was arrested but never prosecuted for this incident when the Metropolitan Police Department in D.C. entered a residence at 725 13th Street Southeast, okay? Members of the Violent Crime Suppression Division and Narcotics Enforcement Unit responded to this address in relation to information from DC Housing Authority, reporting that gang members had taken over an apartment and had been using that apartment to distribute narcotics from that location. Now, this is the part that was kind of weird. You know how I am. I try to find these addresses for you so you can visualize them along with me and we can walk through this story. So I plugged 725 13th Street Southeast, Washington, D.C. in Google Maps, and this is what comes back. It's a map, and there's no 725 anywhere in here. And if you think there is, just pause it, try to find it, circle it, and please let me know, because I looked all over and I could not find a 725 to show you in here. So I don't know if the law enforcement just wrote the wrong address in the court documentation that I saw, or if this is just the block number or something like that. But I think this is the general area where this incident takes place. Now, what happens is law enforcement approached an apartment in this complex, knocked on the door. An unknown individual, male individual, opened the door only to immediately shut it when noticing that it was law enforcement, right? Probably scared the shit out of him. And then members of law enforcement, they're outside the perimeter of this apartment, right? They notice that an unknown individual jumps out the window and escapes out the back. So eventually law enforcement's able to make entry into the apartment, and they located Keith Jones in what the police paperwork calls bedroom number 2 with 4 other individuals. Okay, when they found him, they found him with a whole bunch of shit. I am not kidding you. So they found a pill bottle containing 78 blue pills marked M30. They found a pill bottle with 20 yellow round pills stamped with a 23, which I'm not really sure what those are to. They found a plastic bag containing 222 grams of green leafy substance, which tested in the field positive for weed. And a plastic bag containing 24 rounds of 45 caliber ammunition. And immediately you would say, uh-oh, if there's ammunition, there's probably guns, right? No shit, there's guns. They find lots and lots of guns in this house. I'm just going to go down the list here and tell you what is listed in the court documentation. So they say they found a plastic bag also containing 9 rounds of 40 caliber ammunition in the living room. 5 high-capacity magazines capable of holding more than 10 rounds and 2 rounds of 9mm ammunition in the kitchen, because I need ammunition in my kitchen. You never know when shit's going to just flare up in there. A plastic bag containing 50 grams of white rock-like substance, which field tested positive for cocaine. And this is in bedroom number 3, which not the exact same bedroom Keith Jones is in, but it's the same house, right? I mean, that's a lot. 50 grams of coke is a lot of coke. That's definitely not personal use. And some guns. They found a Glock 21 45 caliber. They found a Glock 30 45 caliber. They found a Glock 19 9mm. They found a Glock 19 9mm. And these are just throughout the house. It looks like those four were just outside bedroom number 3. So you have to imagine, I've just told you about a whole bunch of ammunition, a whole bunch of guns, a lot of drugs. You're probably gearing up and saying, Keith, there's going to be a shooting, isn't there? There's going to be a shooting. Follow me. Follow me now, and I will tell you
all right. All about so our next stop on this next crazy train is Saturday, October 28th, 2023, at approximately 10:22 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Special police officers were parked outside the Capitol Park Plaza apartments located at 201 I Street Southwest in Washington, D.C. The Capitol Park apartments are a large multi-story apartment building with clear glass lobby on a first floor. So, of course, you know me. I had to go find this for you, right? So here's the map. And you can see this is a gigantic complex. All the other houses and complexes around it, they look so small. The apartment complexes across the street, much, much smaller than this. So that's the view from the map. Let me give you what this looks like from the human street view. And this is it. So I couldn't get this whole apartment complex on the screen for you at once because it's just the way Google Maps worked. So what I tried to do is stand in the middle of it and kind of scroll over to the side so you can see the left-hand side of it. So you can see there's a lot of apartments in here. And this is important because later on something happens that, in my opinion, would put a lot of these people at danger. So I'm going to show you some pictures here. And these pictures, they came from exterior and interior surveillance from the Capitol Park Plaza apartments. So the first picture here, this is from 10:22 p.m. And you can see on the left-hand side of the picture, there's looks like two individuals, maybe three, coming out of an elevator. Now, there's a red circle around one of them. That is Keith Jones. And you know it because he's wearing a black sweatshirt that has white spots, I guess. Very large white spots. And this is very easy to see in this surveillance camera series that I'm going to show you here in a minute. Now, on the right-hand side, you can see police officers obviously looking right at them coming out of the elevator. And I imagine, well, let me back up. Apparently, the officers know or believe that Keith Jones and his accomplices should not be in this apartment complex. Okay, so imagine kind of like they locked eyes and oh my God, they're here. And all of a sudden, it's like the chase is on, right? And that's exactly what happens in the next few pictures. So you see Keith Jones and his accomplice, they go by one door. And I don't know if that door is locked or what it is. They could have gone out there, I think, but they didn't. Possibly because we know that there are officers that are actually outside this complex as well. It's not, the ones that we saw weren't the only officers in this scenario, okay? So they go by this door and they try to go down the hallway, which I'm going to show you next here. And by this point, it looks like they're running just by the picture. And when they take off down this hallway, they get to the end of it, and it sounds like there's a door there, and they're unable to get through this door because it's locked. Okay, so their only choice then is to come back to the lobby. And so when they come back to the lobby, his accomplice, he goes straight forward while Keith Jones runs to the left, and it's going to actually be on the right-hand side of this picture because he's running to the left. Yeah, it's the whole stage left, stage right thing. So he's running to his left, which is our right in this picture, and you can see he's kind of bending down in this picture, which is kind of curious. Why would he be doing that? He's doing this because what you see at his feet, that those two white-looking lights, I guess, that's where his feet are. He dropped a weapon, a gun, a pistol, and it went off. That's the muzzle flash that you see in the circle there. That's the gun going off. And you can see there are at least two, maybe three officers in this. One at the top of the screen right next to Keith, and then one over on your left-hand side, and possibly one outdoors. So we know that there's police officers inside this complex, and we know there's police officers outside this complex. They're closing in on Keith. Keith gets freaked out and drops his gun. Why does he drop his gun? Because he tries to hide it. Why? Remember that case earlier when I told you he was already a convicted felon? He shouldn't have guns at all. So this one picture is very, very bad for him because it shows him dropping his gun when he was trying to hide it and it going off. And so your next question should be, where did that bullet go? Where did that bullet go? It went through the lobby window. And here's a picture of the lobby window. Here you can see the bullet went through it down in the lower left-hand corner of that window. And if you're really curious, I got to zoom in for you. Look at this. So this is where the bullet hit in the bottom part of the window that I just showed you. All right. So when this gun goes off, you can imagine his partner probably doesn't know that this is Keith dropping his gun and could think, oh, this is a police officer shooting at me, because it sounds like he just drops to the ground and raises hands to surrender when that gunshot goes off. Okay, so Keith's partner is now giving up to the police at that moment when the gun goes off. When the gun goes off, Keith Jones, he keeps running. Okay, so the next picture here, I'm showing you him bolting out the front door, and this is just after the gunshot went off. And then police officers, they chase him. They chase him out there and down I Street a little ways. And it sounds like he tries to squeeze through a metal gate around 234 I Street Southwest. The officers actually deployed the pepper spray in order to detain him, which, wow, you know, if a gun went off and they're still using pepper spray, that's some restraint on the police officers, I gotta say. So all this incident, I guess, is also captured on body-worn camera that I don't have that the officers wore. So that's why we were able to know what happened. So then about 4 minutes later, we have our next picture, which is the police officers walking Mr. Jones back to the apartment complex where his gun just went off. Okay, so they recover this firearm, obviously, because he dropped it. So it ends up being a Smith & Wesson M&P 40 caliber pistol. But what you need to know is this firearm is equipped with 13 rounds, and it was loaded with 9 rounds and one in the chamber. And I have a picture of this gun for you. All right, so that's the Glock. That's the magazine in the middle. And those are some of the rounds that they took on the right-hand side. And if you look at this, I don't know why they kind of signify that one bullet in the middle there is different than all the rest. Maybe that's the fired one or the one in the chamber. It's probably the fired one. I bet you that's the one without the round in it any longer. So we also have a picture of where this firearm was found, and I have it on your screen now. This is the apartment complex. There's like a pylon in the middle, and on the lower left there you see a red circle. That's where the gun landed eventually when it came to rest. You imagine he dropped it, it fired, so it probably kind of shot across the floor because of that force coming out of the gun, and it landed over there by the window, and that's where the police eventually ended up finding it. Now Jones said he was ditching the gun because he was scared. And, you know, I told you about that whole conviction he had prior. So he probably knew because of that conviction, he shouldn't have been around guns. And he was probably just trying to throw it. So with that, please follow along with me. I got to tell you about what happens next in court. Okay, so our next stop here is in court. Court is actually pretty short for this case. I know in most of these cases, they go back and forth and have motions and all that kind of stuff. This case was pretty much filed. And when it was filed, there were charges made against Mr. Jones. And specifically, there were two charges. The first one was conspiracy to distribute and possess with intent to distribute 40 grams or more of a mixture containing fentanyl. That's probably a pretty hefty charge. I looked up the min and the max on that. The minimum is 5 years and the maximum is 40 years. So that's a pretty big swing there. The second count, they charge him with unlawful possession of a firearm and ammunition by a person convicted of a crime punishable by imprisonment for a term exceeding 1 year. And the max I looked up here was 15 years. It didn't have a minimum. So I don't know if probation's possible or what, but that's what the information said. So facing that, about a year after he was charged, let's see, he was charged in November of 2023. So by March 19th of 2024, Keith Jones just went in and said, fuck it. I'm guilty. I'm guilty for both counts. And, you know, maybe he could have fought the fentanyl. I don't know how much evidence they had on them. But there's no way he was fighting that gun charge, right? I mean, there's surveillance video of the gun falling out of his hand, firing, and they have it. And he's definitely not supposed to be around guns because I took all that goddamn time up front to tell you he was convicted of other stuff, so we knew he couldn't be around guns, right? But he was. Okay, so I don't know what else he could have pled to besides guilty in this case, at least of the gun charge. So with that, follow me and let me tell you a little bit about my final thoughts on this case, and I'll get you out of here on a happy note. All right, you crazy bastards, we've gotten to the end of this case, okay? And before I do anything else, I have one very, very important thing to ask of you. I try not to ask anything of you, but I just, this one thing. Okay, we'll say two. Two things. Two things are very, very important to me. Now, as you look around, you probably notice I've changed my video format, right? I put a lot of work into these videos. If you would like to show your appreciation for the amount of research I put into this video and the amount of time it takes to put a cartoon dude like this together, please, please, just like the video and subscribe. Now listen, if you want to go above and beyond and really show some appreciation, if you know somebody that would like this video, if you could just share it with them, bring a new listener, hey, I'd love to have them join us on these episodes. And with that, let me tell you a few of my final thoughts, and then I'll talk a little bit more about the podcast. So my first thought was, man, drugs, opiates, and benzos. We've covered both of them in our episodes here and in the past. All of them are horrible. Now, my second thought was, thank God the bullet didn't hit anybody, right? It just hit a window and nobody was hurt or geez, man, they could have been killed, right? That would have been horrible. So I was very, very thankful for that. But I was also very thankful that I know now not to stop at the CVS in Seat Pleasant, Maryland. And so do you. You also know not to stop there because I spent all that time looking at the reviews up front. Their customer service apparently is horrible. Horrible. So bad so that even when robbers come in, they can't even get the drugs that they're trying to rob them for, apparently, because Keith Jones couldn't get the Percocet, right? That's how bad their customer service is. They can't even help the robbers. Okay, so now you notice I didn't tell you the sentence in this case, and that's because it's still undecided. So I cut this case at the point where he said, yep, I did it, and the court hasn't decided what his sentence is. I don't think it's going to be on the light side. I definitely don't think it's going to be 20 years, which is the heavy side, but I don't think it's going to be on the light side. So the light side was about 5 years. I think he's going to be probably looking closer to 7 or 10. If I just had to guess, okay, that's just my guess. Now, other people in this case have been charged for other crimes. Okay. The No Rats Allowed crew has people that have been charged and convicted. If you are interested in other cases that are related to this, I do have another one linked inside this video's description. If you go to the sources and transcript link and click in there, you'll see all the sources and you'll see one of the links in there is just the other case. Okay, so this podcast, a year ago, actually a little over a year ago, about a year and a month ago, almost a year, 2 months ago. Wow, time flies. I committed to doing one a week just for a year. All right. When I did that, we were audio. Okay. Audio was a heck of a lot easier to edit than what you're looking at on YouTube right now. I've evolved from doing that to being a talking head on video to now a cool cartoon that I can actually do a lot of stuff with that I couldn't do sitting in a chair in front of you. So with that, I'm just saying that I'm not going to be releasing on Mondays every week going forward. I'm just going to be releasing episodes when I get them done. Sometimes it might be a week. Sometimes it might be a few days. Sometimes it might be a couple weeks. It kind of depends on how big the episode is and how long it takes me to do all this that you're looking at, because all this stuff actually takes a lot of time for me to do, but I actually have a lot of fun with it. I have a lot of fun with it. As long as you guys are entertained by it and want to learn about these cases, I don't mind doing this at all. It's a lot of fun. So if you enjoyed what you are watching now, please just leave me a note. Leave me a positive note in the comment. Tell me what you liked. If there's something that I can easily change to make it better, let me know. I might just not know about it. It might be an easy change, and I may be more than happy to change it. You never know unless you ask. So, with that, until then, I hope you come back and visit me on the next episode, because I guarantee I'm going to pick one just as crazy as this one, and we're going to have fun with the cartoon like you're watching now. So, see you then. Thanks. Bye.